Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just praise the Lord, would you? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I'll tell you the way I feel right now. If I could sing, I'd cut loose on a verse. Hallelujah. It feels good around here tonight, don't it? Amen. I believe the sun is shining. I believe the sun is shining. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. I do not know whenever I have seen a service that continued on in the youth camp from one night to another night like the last two night service did. Actually, that's all it was. We continued last night what we started the night before, what God started. I do not know if the numbers of people that have declared, young people, they have been freed from things that have bothered and possessed them for years. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Glory. And last night's service, Brother Weeks, Brother Barnes preached a while and I preached a while. We did it that way last night. And we just would not stop until finally this thing just literally, God and you took it away from both of Brother Barnes and myself. And Brother Thornton in the concession stand told me, said, of all the years I've been working in the concession stand, something happened last night that has never happened before. He said, none of our concession stand help would leave the service nor leave the altars, and we had to go get additional help last night because they were more interested in praying around altars than they were anything else. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. People got the Holy Ghost. Brother Bingaman came to us and said, some folks from his church got the Holy Ghost in the balcony last night. Amen. Others got the Holy Ghost in other places. And I guess 75 or so, they said last night, received the Holy Ghost. Everybody else that don't have it ought to get it tonight. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just feel like that the last two night services has broken the power of the enemy that we have fought the last few nights of this service. Amen. I feel victory over it. Hallelujah. Amen. And after I left here last night, I told Brother Barnes, I said, I feel something different in the spirit for tomorrow night. Glory to God. And I didn't know what the choir was going to sing, but right before they sang, as I stepped down here and Brother Barnes and him came down, stepped over Brother Barnes, I said, Brother Barnes, for the last two nights, we have attacked the authority and the position of the devil. Now I feel in turn, it's time to lift and exalt our God and His name to its highest position. Amen. And that's exactly what I want to do here tonight. Then I'm going to tell you, if the Word of God don't do something for you tonight, we will bury you tomorrow. Because you're dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody that has the Holy Ghost, raise both hands. My Lord, I believe everything in this building's got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have mercy. Hallelujah. The only thing that frightens me tonight is the message that I'm going to preach is the message I preached in California a few weeks ago when I was in the pulpit almost 3 hours on this one subject. Now, do you know who didn't clap their hands? All them folks that had the Holy Ghost, you know, longer than some of you've been living, and ought to just love the Word of God. And they do, honey. And don't ever forget it, they love it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe God's going to do something in this tabernacle again tonight. Amen. Praise God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I want something to happen to you tonight. You in the balcony, do it. I want everybody on the bottom floor. I want everybody on the bottom floor to look up and say, and let the Holy Ghost fall in the balcony tonight. I want everybody in the balcony to look down saying, let the Holy Ghost fall on the bottom floor. Hallelujah. We ought to have a runaway around here tonight. Amen. I want everybody to clap your hands for a moment. Amen. Everybody. Everybody. That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. If you will remain standing for just a moment, I'll read to you the word of the Lord. I'll promise to you that I will not preach 3 hours tonight. Amen. I would, but there's one reason. I close out here tomorrow night and catch a plane out of here Saturday morning and start another youth camp Saturday night in another district. And I don't believe my voice would hold out for 3 hours, and so all y'all can breathe a little sigh of relief now. This is the message I was preaching tonight in California. I was telling you when those young people, you remember, came to me and cried asking me to put my watch aside and not look at it. And did I tell you the rest of the story? I don't know whether I did or not. But, okay, as I got ready to preach this message that night, the choir was preparing to sing, and I walked into the vestibule to call my wife and tell her that I'd changed my plane reservations and was going to take a later flight. I reached to punch the watch. I had one of those digital watches. I had it for years. And when I punched it, it quit working and has not worked to this moment. Now, would it surprise you if I told you that this watch just quit? It hasn't. Wait just a minute. I saw some of them almost had a heart attack up there. Amen. But it's still working. Amen. Let me read the word of the Lord tonight in the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Isaiah 61 and the first verse I want to begin reading tonight. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And it's the last clause I want to dwell on tonight, that He might be glorified. Brother Barnes, would you come pray again, please?
Oh, Lord, if there's anything we need from You tonight, it's to know how to worship You more.
Glory.
Enlarge our capacity. Help us to worship You tonight in spirit and in truth.
Glory.
Let the Word move in our hearts tonight. Again, bless Your servant, for we ask it in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Everybody said, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Some time ago, and please listen to me quickly, I don't have time to spend 15 or 20 minutes getting into the message, so I'm going to go immediately into this message tonight. I read to you very beautiful scriptures that declare that God is going to do something great. Now, some time ago, I began to question and wonder, if all that God does for me, does He really do it because I am that desperate in need of something from God? I began to question, Brother Glass, or was there another purpose, even greater, as to why God does anything for us? I read to you the scripture tonight that said He was going to give beauty for ashes. He was going to take away mourning and give joy. Take away a heavy spirit and give us the garment of praise.
And as long as you look at it that way, it looks like that man is the main cog in the wheel, and everything that God is going to do, he's going to do it just for man. But the last clause of that verse changes the whole entire meaning of that verse. It says that he is going to give beauty for ashes. He will take away mourning and give joy. He'll take away a spirit of heaviness and give a spirit of excitement. But then Isaiah closes it out and says, but that he might be glorified. He declares that whatever God has done for you or will do for you, he's going to do it because in his mind and heart, he desires to glorify his own self, if necessary, through humanity on the face of this earth. Now, some time ago, I began to wonder why Jesus Christ was really born. Now, follow me quickly. The scripture declares that he came to save us from sin. But then something probed in my mind quite a bit deeper. And I begin to wonder, God, I want to know what happened before Genesis 1 and 1. What happened in what I call Genesis 0 and 0? Now the Bible declares there was a God and there was an eternity where he lived before there ever was a world and a sun and a moon and stars. There was a God who lived somewhere in the regions of where he lived. Oh, stay with me, young people, tonight. I feel as much sanction tonight in the Holy Ghost as I did two nights ago. Amen. So just hold on. Now, when you begin to wonder what took place on the other side of Genesis 1 and 1, now you stumble into Genesis and all the way to Malachi. You do not seem to find a beautiful pattern of worship. There seems to be something missing. There seems to be something that is not there. You stumble across a few men that get excited about God. Israel one time dances before him, and the next day they have denied him and dancing around the golden calf. But something tells me there was something about God and what happened on the other side of time that I want to know in my day and hour. Somebody said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he made the statement, pray that whatever happened in heaven will happen in earth. Glory. Now, when you begin to look into the Word of God, there seems to be not too much you can find as to what happened on the other side of Genesis 1 and 1. Almost no writer mentions it. Almost no writer picks up the pen and declares it. But one time, God seemed to just break his ordinary pattern, and he opens the mystery for just one fleeting moment, and he declares it. It looks like that he has intentionally shut up the book and not allowed man to see what happened on the other side. But then Job stands up one day in the 38th chapter, and he challenges the authority and position of deity. And when he does, this is what God said. Now, Job, there's something I need to talk to you about. You do not understand my position of authority and deity, but where were you when I laid the foundation of the world, when I hung the axis upon nothing? And then God opens the mystery and pulls the curtain back for two verses. He said, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. And then he closes it back up and he shuts it down and he seals it up and he talks about something else. But stumbling through that, Brother Weeks, not long ago, I got my mind on something. I found something in the book. What was it? Simply this, that something happened on the other side of Genesis 1 and 1. There was no redemption to talk about. There was no sonship to glorify about. There was no name to get excited about. But something happened that was so excitable that when they sang, the sons of God literally shouted for joy. But what caused the singing and what caused the shouting? I'll simply tell you this, and I don't have time to go into it to prove it, but something about He who sat on the throne and His position and the glory and the majesty of His deity caused the morning stars to sing together. And when they did, the sons of God shouted for joy when they beheld the glory of God in the infant beginning of all times. Hallelujah. Then there is one other place in the Scripture where you get one fleeting glance. I like to preach to a congregation that is as quiet and attentive as this one is right here. Glory. Then you get one other glimpse. And Isaiah said, in the year the king died, I saw the Lord. High lifted up, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though I were dead. And before that, but I saw Him, and cherubim fly through the midst of heaven. Two wings they covered their feet, and two wings they covered their face. And with two wings they did fly. Something about Him was so mighty. Something about Him was so glorious that they fly through the midst of heaven, not daring to look upon His face, and they would sing, Holy! 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 Now stay with me for a moment. Something was so excitable on the other side of time. Now you see, we shouted tonight because we're talking about a coming king. And that's what we're shouting about. We got excited tonight because they have sang songs of redemption. They've sang songs about the blood. They've sang songs about the delivering power of the name. But when the sons of God and the morning star sang together, there was no song of redemption. There was no song of blood. There was no song of healing. There was no song of miracle. There was no song of anything but the majesty of He who sat upon the throne. And that's where they got excited about the glory of Him upon the throne. I feel like there is something trying to sweep into our hour. Hallelujah. There is something trying to sweep in our hour. And I'll tell you what's been working in my heart. I got to preaching the other night in our church, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, if you will lift me up, if you will preach my deity, if you will exalt my name, if you will tell people how many I am, He said, I'll fill your altars up, I'll fill your building up, and I'll fill them with the Holy Ghost. From that weekend unto this present night, we have preached one God almost every week, and they're streaming in the doors, they're getting the Holy Ghost, we're baptizing them in the daytime. Why? It's time to exalt Him and put Him in the position that He is used to, and the authority and the glory that belongs to Him. Amen. Are you still with me tonight? Hallelujah. But now something happened. Something happened that we don't ever talk much about. Psalm of David in all of his writings, every now and then he'd just say, hey, say praise the Lord. And he'd write along there a few verses, and he'd say, well, magnify the Lord. David caught an insight that few men ever lived to catch. He caught the magnitude of God. He caught the majesty of it. He caught the glory of God. There needs to be a glory, sweet Pentecost, of the majesty of one God and how great He is, like never before. We need it in our day, and we need it in our hour. Glory. But something happened in Genesis 0 and 0. They had a little scuffle up in heaven. They had a little fight. And one of those angels said, well, I'll tell you what, I can't take God getting all the glory, so I'm going to take it away, some of it, myself. A rebellion in heaven. And this man called, that we now call the devil, the fallen angel, was kicked out into the regions beyond. Now, God could have whipped him to begin with. He could have settled the issue right there. But Job writes in one of his books, and this is what Job said, "Oh, that mine adversary would write a book against me. If he would, I would take the book and I would pin it to my shoulder as though it were a crown." And God said, "All right, devil, I'll let you bring every accusation. I'll let you write everything you can write. But when it's said and done, I will still take all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It's mine." Hallelujah. Glory. So they had a little scuffle, and they had a little fight, and the devil took out of glory. Stay with me, young people. You need to hear this message I'm going to preach to you tonight. Amen. Glory. The devil took out of glory what God was used to hearing. Glory. Then when you stumble in Genesis and the rest of the books, you don't even hardly ever find it mentioned, Brother Barnes, about what happened in heaven. What was going on? Brother Weedner, something happened. Lucifer stole the worship of the glory that belonged unto God. He became the prince of this world. And in Eden, when man fell, there was no other route to take. You see, God had given Adam the authority and the dominion and the power of everything on the face of the earth. When Adam fell, it only left one other way out, and that God had to come himself to redeem the earth and redeem the race of humanity. It looked like now God is losing his authority and his power. There's nothing else. The enemy that defeated him has now stolen his prime object in Eden and seemed to leave God defeated and alone. But rather than take defeat, my God wrapped himself in human flesh and desires to come to this world to get back what the devil took out of that world. He desired to come to this world and take it back because it belonged to him. Amen. It was his. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Glory. Then you stumble on through the Bible. I'll skip all of this. It'd make it a little boring to get too deep into it for you young people. But you look on down through the Bible, and suddenly there is no mention of shouting in heaven. There seemed to be no rejoicing on earth. God becomes so weary and tired and lonely until he shuts up heaven. He closes down the window, hangs an out of business sign on the front door, and for 400 years, not a sound comes from heaven. Nobody has a dream. Nobody has a vision. Nothing takes place. What is happening? God is lonely for what he was used to in Genesis 0 and 0. But the enemy has taken out of heaven what God was used to. And then the next thing you find out, hallelujah, there's a bouncing baby born. Hallelujah. But even before he was born, let me back up. Zechariah and Elizabeth, an old priest and his wife, nearly 100 years old, past the age of having a baby. And here comes Elizabeth, fixing to have a young one. And they're past the age to have a child. But one day, as she is in the house, there's a knock on the door. And when she goes to the door, there stands a young maiden girl whose name is Mary. And she said, "Elizabeth, something, I don't know how to tell you, something has taken place. I'm fixing to have a baby, and I know not a man." And the Bible said, when she said that, the unborn baby in the womb of Elizabeth, it leaped up and down when it listened to that. Amen. I'll tell you why. The very thing now that God has missed in glory, he's about to find on earth. Amen. The very thing he's looking for. Hallelujah. It's only a few weeks later. Amen. Until a bouncing baby boy is born in Bethlehem of Judea. Hold on for all of you that like to shout.
We'll get down to the shouting point after a while. Amen. After a while, there's a bouncing baby boy born. And they call his name Jesus. And they lay him in a manger. And something happens, Brother Donahue. Angels light up the heavens. And the heavens begin to sing. He who has listened to it before the foundation of the world. He who was used to it before he ever had a sun and a moon and a star. Now lies in a manger. But his ears hear the sound on earth. The thing he's been looking forward to. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God. Every Jewish man should have understood and known where he was going to be born. But three men who had been looking to heaven and who had been charting and plotting on a course found a star out yonder, and they began to follow it. And they followed it one day. Now you kind of believe what you want to believe. I kind of have the feeling that these men were not Jewish men, but that they were Gentile men. They traveled from a far country. They came from a long way. And the first thing they did, when they saw the baby, the Bible said, and they fell down and worshiped him. Glory. Here it is. Here it is. Do you see it already? He is now only a few hours old. But something is happening on earth that he was used to in the glory world. And that was the worship and the falling and the magnitude of how great he is and how mighty his power and his understanding is. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Here is the master of the universe, the God of glory, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Let me skip all of that now. But there's something that his ears heard, Brother Barnes. There's something that a small baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger heard. He heard what he had not been used to hearing, Brother Hennigan, since before the foundation of the world. And God said, I want it. I'll never be denied of it again. I'll get it in a price I've got to pay to get it, to restore that kind of worship. I'll have it at any price, at any cost I've got to go to. And then he grows up, and I'll skip all of that story until one day he's baptized by John in the river of Jordan. And when he comes out of the water, he walks into the wilderness, and there the same enemy, there the same one that he battled with thousands of years ago, calls him aside and said, come here, I want us to do something. Would you please come up here? He said, I want to show you something. He said, look out there and look at all of that world. If you can bow down to me, I will give you this world. It's mine. Everything in it is mine. But I'll give it to you if you'll just bow down. There's nobody but me and you out here. Nobody will ever know it. Just you and I. But I'm glad that my God did not make a sicker deal on the backside of a desert. But he looked the devil square in the eye and said, no. Amen. I will not bow down to you to get the worship that I want to have. But I'll stand true and I'll stand tall. And someday I will find the worship that I'm looking for. It will be restored again. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. No secret deals. No backside anywhere. Somebody said, Brother Spears, you'll never have a move of God preaching a message like this tonight. Hold on, honey, and find out. Hallelujah. I've come tonight to exalt and glorify the name of God unto its highest position. The devil don't like it. Amen. But in this day and hour, it's time we begin to exalt him and magnify him and lift him to his position. Glory. Hallelujah. The master of the universe. Glory. The master of the universe. Young people, please get in your mind the greatness of our God. When we talk about Jesus Christ, we are not talking about a little old man that was just a prophet. I'm talking about the same God who made the sun, moon, and stars, wrapping himself in flesh and come to this world. Why did he come? That he might be glorified. That he might be glorified. The devil brought the accusation, and the devil said, you're not as good as you ought to be. And rather than whip the devil, when my God desired to defeat the devil, he did not defeat him in the power of the throne, but he lowered himself lower than angels, lower than man, and said, when I whip him, I'll whip him good, amen. And that is where our victory is. Hallelujah. Amen. Either my congregation don't want to hear the rest of this message, or something, I don't know. Hallelujah. But I'm going to preach it anywhere, and nobody but up here wants to hear it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Brother Glass, rather than have the devil someday in eternity stand and look at God and say, you didn't fight fair, you whipped me with your authority on the throne. He came down and wrapped himself in human flesh and said, now write a book. Hallelujah. Bring up every accusation you can find. Write every temptation that you can think of. Put it all down. And when it's said and done, I'll whip you and I'll destroy you and I'll take you and I'll get some worship and praise. Glory. So it was one day, he got up on a little old donkey, and he began to ride inside of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. He is, amen, just riding that little old donkey alone. And suddenly the Bible said, they start pulling off the coat. Hallelujah. And they start to throw them on the ground. Put yours on there, Brother Whitehead. Hallelujah. Amen. That's it. The king's going to come by. Amen. The king's going to come by. He is worthy. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said, they said, Hosanna. Hosanna. Here it is. Here's what I've been preaching about for 30 minutes now. His ears hear what he used to hear in Genesis 0 and 0. Hosanna! Hosanna! Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can sit down anytime you want to. Amen. Make yourself comfortable. Hallelujah. Amen. Holy, 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 Hosanna, thou art holy, Hosanna, thou art holy, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And as he rode across the coats and the garments, and the boughs of the trees on the ground, and somebody got up to him and said, Master, would you shut all this down? Would you stop it? Let me read between the lines. He said, you don't understand how many eons of time that I've waited to hear it again. I've waited to hear it again. Hallelujah. Where did you hear it, Master? Where did you hear it, Messiah? He said, I heard it when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. That's where I heard it. Hallelujah. there. Amen. Only one of them got... Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Glory. You can sit down when you want to. And they said, why don't you stop this? They said, could you stop it? He said, oh yeah, I could. But he said, I don't want to. I don't want to. Somebody may have looked at him and said, well, why don't you want to? He said, before the world was ever founded, before the stars ever twinkled and the sun ever shone and the world ever rotated, he said, I was used to this all the time. All the time. Go ahead and sit down anyway. Hallelujah. Don't you gonna get weary next 2 hours. Hallelujah. Try to stand up all the way through. Amen. I've made up in my mind tonight. If you want to get up and go home, get up and go home. But I'm going to preach tonight until I give out a preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, could you stop it? Oh, yeah. He said, I could. But somebody said, well, why don't you stop it? He said, I've waited for thousands of years. Heaven has been silent. He said, I've come down here to sell the store with an old boy who took out of my world the worship. Amen. And so what he took out of my world, I have come down and I've come into his world and I'm going to take out of his world what he took out of my world. Somebody said, do we have a right to worship tonight? Do we have a right to shout? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but, well, what makes you people shout? Now, hold on. I'm going to tell you what makes me shout. Wait a minute. I do not shout just because I feel good. I shout because mine eyes, my spirit, and my mind has caught a glimpse of who he really is. And that's why I shout. Amen. Because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's everlasting. He's almighty. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. And he said, if I shut him up, he said, Brother Cupid, nobody see you but me. He said, if I shut it all up, he said, the stones would start crying out. Now hold it. Now hold it. I know, and I'm not crossing anybody's theory that he was talking about Gentiles there, but I discovered in the Bible some time ago that stones did cry out. Now hold it. My Bible tells me when he started hearing worship in Bethlehem, I believe he purposed in his heart he'd never be without it from then throughout all eternity. Then there came the day that they took him on the outside of Jerusalem and they stretched the cross out and they put him on the cross and the world ceased to worship. The Bible says that when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when the spirit left out of that body, there was no worship. But the rocks, the Bible said, began to move out of their place. The sun refused to shine. The earth shook and declared, He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all honor. He is worthy of all glory.
That didn't mean for y'all what it did for me, I see. Hallelujah. God, somebody's still wondering what I'm preaching about. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you this. When the rocks that had seen him, Brother Marcus, in creation, well, my Lord, when the sun watched him make a man, when the stars watched him make a world, when the heavens may watch him make everything on the face of the earth, they listened to the angels as they glorified him. And then they watched him on Calvary when nobody magnified him. And the rock said, I will magnify him because of what I have seen of him in the past and who he really is. He is worthy.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. May I don't see it yet, Brother Marcus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, why in the world didn't the Bible... Now, if I could find it in the Bible to shout, I'd shout. You wouldn't do it. Don't give me that bunch of baloney. Amen. Somebody, wait just a minute. Somebody said, well, if I could find in the Bible to wave your arms, I'd wave mine. It's not in there, honey. If I could find in the Bible to run the aisles, I'd run it. You couldn't look, and it ain't in there. And I'm going to tell you why it's not in there. My God was used to worship in Genesis 0 and 0, the kind of worship that only recognized him in his position of authority and glory and power. And God said, if I ever have worship again, it will have to be not made, not forced, not planned, not laid out, but every man in his own way, when he sees how great I am, he will worship me the way he feels like it. Amen. That's the reason Johnny Donahue does like this. That's the reason Brother Vanover does like this. Hallelujah. That's the reason Brother Byrd goes like this. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. That's the reason Sister Cox goes like this. I'll tell you why. I have seen him, and my spirit has caught a glimpse of who he is, and he is worthy of all praise and all glory and all worship. He's worthy! He's worthy! He's worthy! He's worthy! Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to go a little farther? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank God. When he got through on the cross, and when he got down to hell, he whipped the whole bunch. I'll tell you why he didn't leave the body in the ground. I believe he got in the body, Brother Barnes, and took the body slapped down into hell. Why? He wanted the devil to look and see that through the flesh, the devil had taken praise away from God, but through the flesh, God was going to get the worship back that belonged to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Ooh, Lord, I feel so good I don't know what to do. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to give you a little hint. The next time the devil comes around and starts tempting you and saying, you're going to fail. Your flesh is going to fail. I'm fixing to give you a secret to use against the devil. Just back up and say, now, just a minute, boy. Me and you need to have a talk. We ain't had a talk in a long time. We fix to have a talk. What? I'm trying to, son. Let me go ahead and do what the boy wanted me to.
Ask that dirty devil, what do you know about Fred? You never had a body. You don't even understand Fred. But I've got a God. But I've got a God. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances.
That was against us.
That was against us.
Which was contrary to us.
Which was contrary to us.
And took it out of the way.
And took it out of the way.
Nailing it. To his cross.
To his cross. Read on.
And having spoiled principality.
And having spoiled principality.
And powers.
And powers. This is the point. Listen.
He made a show of them openly. Triumphing over them in it.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
You gotta get this. And having spoiled principalities and powers,
yeah.
He made a show of them openly. He didn't whip him in a corner.
That's right.
He didn't whip him on the other side of glory. He whipped him here in this world. Amen. He whipped him here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My God, I don't know how
if you can do it because he's king, you ought to at least pat your foot. You ought to at least pat your foot because he is king. He is king. He's king. Standing now. Now, I gotta hurry up and close. It's been nearly 10 o'clock here. Sorry, it's time to quit. And I'm not even getting all this message tonight. Leaving a little bit of it out every now and then, try to get on down to the good part. Hallelujah. My Lord. But did you hear? Y'all got to shout, and I'm not trying to make you shout again, but I just want to go back and get that one point over again. Somebody said, oh, I'll be so glad when God whips the devil. But Colossians says, he has already made a show of it. He not only whipped him on Calvary, but he went down. Now hold on, don't shout till I get through. Wait a minute. But he went down into hell and whipped the devil in front of all the angels who followed the devil to start with. This whole bunch up here is wanting to preach. Amen. God. I'm going to tell you, the lid's about to blow off this thing. I don't know if we can hold it down much longer. Amen. He's made a show of it. And I can dwell a little bit, and I just want to pick it up just one more time. And he whipped them in front of all the imps down there. He embarrassed the devil. Now, that's the reason. Now, wait just a minute. I never preached that to you. You mentioned that right then. I'm going to preach it now. You know the reason the devil hates you? Because you wear the name of the one who has embarrassed him. That's why he don't like you. Let me preach a little bit longer here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You sit down, I want to preach another point to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Look this way. Y'all look at him when I get through. This is where the action is. Wait. Years ago in early Pentecost, it was nothing unusual for a service to have many people what they call slain in the spirit. Now, I got to wondering some months ago why that took place. The only conclusion that I could come to, that there is a point of getting caught away and raptured in God, where the body cannot take what the soul sees. Hold it. John the Revelator said, and when I saw him, I just fell out. That's too much a subject to dwell on. Let's get off of it and get on something else. Hey, amen. Some of you kids wouldn't understand, but I'm going to tell you. There's something God's dealt with my soul about that. Dear God, something has got to happen in 1977 that our eyes get high enough to hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Our eyes get off of our cars and off of our clothes and off of our houses until we see Him. Him! Him! Thank God somebody said we need television to reach our world. We need enough of us to get drunk enough in the Holy Ghost to shake our world! That's what we need! Oh, God cares away from us! Until my body loses contact with this world and my spirit catches a glimpse of Him. Yes. Hallelujah. All right, God, let's hurry and get through, Brother Vanover. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2 and 7.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom.
Even the hidden wisdom.
Which God ordained before the world.
God ordained before the world to our glory. Read the next verse. Listen to this.
None of the princes of this world knew.
Okay, hold it. Who are the princes he was talking about? They were the imps and the spirits that followed a defeated devil. And the Bible said,
we don't. For had they known it, they would not have crucified.
They would not have crucified
the Lord of glory.
The Lord of glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The princes of this world. Now hold on. If they would have known that they were fixing to lose their position of authority, they would not have allowed God to be crucified. For after His death, He is no longer referred to. Amen. Let me get this exactly right. Hallelujah. Amen. From after the death of Christ, the rest of the time, He is only referred to after the day of Pentecost, as the prince of the air and the God of the world. Before Pentecost, He is called the prince of the world. Hallelujah. Glory. They would not have crucified Him
if they would have known the hidden mystery. But it was hidden in Isaiah 9:6. He shall be called the Prince of Peace. Amen. Jesus. Glory. From the beginning of the fall of man unto the day of Pentecost, the devil is called the prince of the world. But after then, he's called the prince of the air and the god of the world, because Jesus Christ took the position of authority away from him when he came as the prince of peace. Then if he was the Prince of Peace, and we are his subjects, and we are his followers, we become, hallelujah, just before he left this world, he said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but like only I can give. And if I am the Prince of Peace, it makes us the princes of peace through his death, his burial, and his resurrection." Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
All right, God have mercy. Let's hurry up and get it over with. I'm about to play out. Hallelujah.
Now, have you ever wondered why on the day of Pentecost suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they all got the Holy Ghost sitting being real still, real quiet? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house when they were sitting. There appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it spread everywhere. You know the rest of the story. And then the Bible said, now when this was noised abroad. I'm going to tell you why it was noised abroad. It's because that when God listened to the first Gentile bow a knee at a manger in Bethlehem of Judea, he heard the worship that he had been used to in Genesis 0:0, and he'd been so lonely for. So when he sent his spirit back, he sent it with a rumble, with a roar, with a power, and said, "Let it be known everywhere that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them." Amen. Glory. And what God had in the beginning, he will again have in the end. Now, give me about 10 minutes, and I'll promise you, and I'm not saying this just to egg you on, but I need 10 minutes. Listen to me closely in closing. In the beginning, before there was a rebellion against God, every subject in glory bowed down before him and recognized him in his holy position of authority. And if I was a Holy Ghost filled person, I wouldn't walk out right now for nothing in the world. You couldn't hire me because of what the preachers are fixing to preach right now. But God is going to have in the end exactly what he had in the beginning. Flip over to Philippians 2:5. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. In the very beginning, everything bowed down and magnified him because of the power of his glory. Now this is what he will have in the end of it all. Read.
Let this mind be in you.
Read.
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
We don't.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus...
That at the name of Jesus...
Every knee
should bow. Every knee should bow.
Of things in heaven...
Things in heaven.
And things in earth.
And things in earth.
And things under the
and
earth.
Things under the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me run over again. Hallelujah. Someday. Glory. Hold on right there, Brother Vanover. Amen. But the Bible tells me, and I used to preach, and I probably still will preach it, that when the rapture takes place, that we're just going to shout, shout, shout. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Didn't say the church was going to shout, Brother Kelly. Said he was going to shout. And I'll tell you why he's going to get excited. Because at that moment, he will take out of the world, hold it, what the devil took out of his world in the beginning of time. He will take worship. He will take a bride. He will take love. He will take honor. He will take respect out of the kingdom of the devil and take it. And God will get excited and shout himself when he gets a bride out of this world. Get up the name of Jesus.
How many?
Every.
Just those in heaven?
Every.
Just those on earth?
Every.
Just the bride?
Every.
Just angels?
Every.
Just Pentecost?
Every.
Just tongue talkers?
Every.
Just preachers?
Every.
Just young people?
Every.
Just old people?
Every.
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 Glory.
Say it with me. Every.
Every.
In the beginning, if you will remember, every subject was subject unto him. In the end of time, when he ascends to the throne, the position he left thousands of years ago, when he ascends to the throne, everything in heaven and everything in earth and every devil under the earth is going to bow at the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, young man, who told the monitor this evening, yeah, I know I'm going to hell, but it don't bother me. It's cute now. It's funny now. Oh, it's so cute. You really impressed the girls, son. I mean, boy, you really made them feel something, that you was a big deal. But someday, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess.
That's right.
That Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory.
To the glory.
Of Amen. God the Father.
Amen.
The last glimpse I get. Maybe I've been a little too long and a little bit too boring. And I trust I have it tonight. The last account I get
when God settles the issue and settles the score. John said, and he defeated and cast out all of the ungodly out of his sight. And then said, I heard a voice as though it were the sound of many waters. And they were saying, Alleluia! 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 For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth! He reigneth! He reigneth! He reigneth! Amen! And the very thing that the devil took out of glory, God shall have it in the end time when his chosen people magnify him like the angels did in the beginning. They magnified him as the Almighty. And in the end, John said, they shall magnify him for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen. Reigneth. 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 I want you to know right now, if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'd be on my way to an altar to get in the bride of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't wait for a song. I wouldn't wait for a note. I'd come running if I didn't have the Holy Ghost. That's it. I'd want to get in the bride. I'd want to get the name of Jesus on my soul. I'd want to get the Holy Ghost. I'd come out of the balcony. I'd come everywhere. I'd come from the outside. I'd come from everywhere. If I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'd come now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Any girls coming? Or does all the girls have the Holy Ghost? Someday you'll bow. Someday you'll magnify it. Why not now? Why not tonight? Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Everybody that don't have the Holy Ghost, now. Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's it. Bring them on. Glory. You've got to see him in his position of authority. If you're coming, come now. This is our last appeal now. We're fixing to come pray. Young people, I want you to arise and let's come worshiping tonight to these altars. Come magnifying the King. Hallelujah. That's it. Come on, let's pray, young people. Amen. Let's pray, adults. We need your help tonight. Preachers, we need your help. Saints of God, if you care for your young people, come on and pray with us tonight. Come on, it's time to pray. These need the Holy Ghost. Glory to